We hope you find this WILL podcast to be valuable. A $10 voluntary credit card contribution at willpledge.org will help us continue to make podcasts of our programs available. Thank you. And that address again is willpledge.org. WILLPLEDGE.ORG. Now here's your program.
From WILL Illinois Public Media, this is Focus. Good morning. I'm Celeste Quinn. The producers for the program, Harriet Williamson and Martha Deal. Jason Croft is our technical director today. And dog trainers Jim Keel and Carol Lindholm are with us today. Carol and Jim are with the Dog Training Club of Champaign Urbana. Jim raises Malamutes. Carol has a Golden and a Doodle. If you have questions about dogs, give us a call this morning, and Jim and Carol will help you out. 333-9455, the number in the Champaign-Urbana area. Toll-free, 800-222-9455. 333-WILL, 800-222-WILL. You can also join us by email. The email address is will-talk@illinois.edu. Questions about dog behavior, caring for dogs, dog training, all are invited this morning. Welcome back. Good to see you.
It's good to see you.
Did you withstand the heat and the humidity?
Yes.
Oof, and another wave is coming.
I know. And it's supposed to be even hotter next week than it was this past week.
Yeah, not good. Not good for man or dog.
No, it's not good at all.
I think it ought to be illegal. The rain should never fall till after sundown. And by noon, the morning fog should disappear. That's my position.
Yeah,
it should never be over 80 degrees ever.
Yeah, it was. It was a brutal couple of weeks.
Yeah. So I suppose what we should do here at the top is once again to remind folks that they need to keep an eye out for their animals.
Don't take them in the car with you when it's this hot. Would be primary rule number one. Make sure they always have plenty. I think about it. I took the dogs for a walk last night, and it was humid, but cooler, you know, but still humid. And I thought, I feel so bad for the dogs that have to live outdoors. I just find that very wrong on a basic level. Well,
yeah.
I also feel sorry for cows and horses and all that.
Think of all the poor animals that live in near the equator.
Yeah.
They all have coats.
Mm-hmm.
Well, many of them have coats. But they learn to deal with it.
Mm-hmm.
Malamutes have a hard time in this weather, however.
Oh, I know.
They're built for holding heat in, not for getting rid of it.
Yeah. So I would imagine that you try and get the dogs out early in the day and then late in the day.
Yeah. Even lately, last week, even early in the day, it was still pretty warm.
Yeah.
But boy, when their noses hit the outside, they got to turn around and go, I don't want to go out. Well, you got to, because you're not going to pee in the house, sorry. So they run out, do their business, and run back, pound on the door, say, let me back in.
Mm-hmm. They do. Mine both do that. And the other morning, I think it was Wednesday morning, it was so warm when it was 80 degrees at 6:30, and I let them out, and Andy was the one that asked back in first. She didn't even wait, because Robbie's usually the one that does, but she went, I went back in. So I let them in, and they would just go collapse on the floor like they'd just run a marathon. They just laid there. It's cool. And
I should like to make 3 points about the heat and dogs in cars. First, people trying to be conscientious will keep a dog in a car and roll their window down like an eighth of an inch. That's not enough to prevent. The problem is the heat buildup in the car and the dog inhaling hot air, and just having a very small crack doesn't do it. If you're afraid your dog will jump out of the car if you have the window open, take them in a crate or get some other restraint, or take them with you. Secondly, and Carol and I have talked about this before, but a lot of these tragedies, even with people, occur when your routine is broken. So you have the dog in the car, you're going to work, but you stop to buy something that you normally don't do. So when or you have an extra dog or somebody's visiting and the dog is shoved to the side or something happens that your daily routine is changed and people tend to forget things when I know I do. So if your routine is broken, be especially careful with the heat. And what was the third thing?
Why are you asking
me? If your dog, and I was thinking, I'm going to tell my classes this, by the way, to tell whether your dog is has heat stroke, there are two things you do. For dehydration, you kind of pinch their skin and see how fast it snaps back. You can do it to yourself and see it. And I recommend you do it to your dog right now or your cat. In order to see how it is when it's normal. Same with the gums. You get the gums up and you press, and it'll be discolored or white for a second, and then it'll turn pink again.
And the capillaries fill back in.
Right. If they don't fill back in very quickly, the blood isn't moving. So those are two signs of heat stroke. And whatever you do, if the dog has heat stroke, get him in the car and get him to the vet. Don't try to cool them down. Don't try to give them water. You can do that in the car on the way to the vet. You've got to get fluids into them, IV usually, or sub-Q, because their hearts are essentially pumping sludge at that point. The moisture is leaving their body. So those are the three things. Thank you very much.
Okay. And if you are outside with your animal, you want to make sure that you're walking at a time of day when
it's cool.
Don't
jog with them.
Don't jog. Plenty of fresh, clean water.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're going to be outside, shade.
When Jim mentioned that the routine disruption, there was a story I can't remember how many years ago, about a gentleman who was supposed to drop the baby off at daycare. But that was something he never really did. His wife did it. So he had the baby in the car and went in to go to work because he didn't think about taking the baby to daycare because it was not his plan that morning. Or he didn't deliberately do it. He just really forgot that the baby was in the car and the baby died. So, because you wonder how people can do those things, but it's often not malicious intent. They just forget.
Yeah. Well, I do stupid things on a regular basis, and I'm going, what was I thinking? Wait a minute. Did I put the keys here, or, we can all understand
mm-hmm.
that.
But that's how those things happen. Yeah. So,
I was very very cheerful discussion here.
Well, I was telling Celeste when we were waiting.
Everybody's hot and grumpy.
When I was waiting for you, that at least three times in the last few days, I've seen in our local paper people charged with animal cruelty for leaving their pets in the car while they're shopping. You lose sense of time, I think, happens to people.
Yeah.
You always think, I'll only be there a second, mm-hmm. And the second turns into 50,000 seconds.
Leave them at home.
Mm-hmm. Just leave them home. They don't want to go out anyway. Heck with it.
Yeah.
Or let them drive.
Let them drive.
Let them control the AC. That they can go in the store and...
This is Focus. Good morning. I'm Celeste Quinn. Dog trainers Carol Lindholm and Jim Keel are with us today. They're with the Dog Training Club of Champaign-Urbana. Listeners, you can join us this morning with questions, comments, 333-9455, the number in the Champaign-Urbana area, toll-free 800-222-9455. You may also join us by email, the address will-talk@illinois.edu. So what's happening this summer at the Dog Training Club?
Classes are coming to an end in the next couple of weeks. We had a very successful agility trial last 2 weeks ago now.
We have actually this weekend we have a UKC obedience trial, and that's the United Kennel Club. And they're a little different than the American Kennel Club. Well, they're actually quite a bit different. But if people want to come out and see some dogs work and get some motivation to do the same, they can come out to the club Saturday and Sunday. I think they start at 8 or 8:30. UKC is a little more relaxed, I think, than the AKC. But they have this one exercise that I find so intriguing. The dog is put on the honor system, So you've got a dog lying in the ring on a downstay while the next competitor works his dog. So it's very intriguing to me, because I remember the first time I saw it was years ago, and I thought they left their dog and forgot it, because I didn't understand that that was part of the exercise. But UKC's nice.
Well, we've got a listener who's phoned in this morning in Urbana, and we're going to take that call now. Line one, hello.
Good morning. This is the dog bike question. Biking on country roads, I've always assumed that as long as a dog is wagging its tail, you're okay, and you may have to slow down, but they'll basically just run for the fun of it and then ignore you. But some friends tell me that, no, a wagging tail alone isn't a sign that it's basically a friendly dog.
Well, it's true. if you're out in the country and you see a dog?
That's chasing, wants to chase after you on your bike.
Ah, okay. Yeah, I thought it's you hiking with your dog.
Yeah. No.
Yeah, okay.
No, you do have to look at the whole body and face, because a wagging tail, they're right, does not always mean they're friendly. There's different wags.
Uh-huh.
And with the tail, and it's different with dogs curly tail, dogs with no tails, but that's just not a good indicator.
Dogs with fairy tails. Here's the thing. The wagging of the tail generally means the dog is excited about something. That doesn't mean they're necessarily friendly or unfriendly. It just means they're happy. If the dog, and it's hard to see with dogs with down ears like cockers, but if the dog's ears are kind of back in a submissive position, if they're kind of bending down, and if they're wagging their tail, if they have a tail, and the wag is very low to the ground, that's a submissive dog, and they're probably not much of a danger to a hiker or a biker. But a dog that's almost standing on its tiptoes, its head is bent forward, its ears are forward, and its tail is as straight up as it can get, and it's wagging, but it's almost like a ticking clock, you know, boom,
yeah,
boom,
like side to
boom,
side,
boom. It's not do. That's a dog that's on the alert. That doesn't mean it's aggressive, but it's not a friendly posture. Having yep. dogs chase you, though, is any dog can chase you, whether it's friendly or unfriendly.
Well, I figure if their teeth are bared and their hackles are up, maybe they're not too friendly. But
no, those are two bad signs.
But invariably, if I come to sometimes a virtual stop, they'll just give up and, you know, go off.
Well, what's attracting them is the movement. And if you stop, you lose all interest to the dog. You're not moving anymore.
So that's a pretty safe strategy.
Well, with a dog that isn't going to attack you, yes.
Yeah, I had a dog that was part wolf once, and it didn't stop. But fortunately, the farmer came out. At least I figure it was part wolf.
Probably not. It's very, you know, wolves, given a choice between breeding and killing a dog, will usually kill it. So it's very difficult to get them to breed with dogs.
Oh, okay. So having treats won't make them think more kindly of cyclists?
It's not that they'll think kindly of you, but if you have like a handful of kibble and the dog's getting close, just drop it on the ground, odds are that the dog will stop and, you know, and you want to have like a handful of it so it doesn't pick up one little bit and then come after you again. And you scatter it a little bit so the dog, you know. But mostly the dog, in my experience anyway, the dogs that come out after you are protecting that little territory of theirs. And as you pass through it and you're moving, they come out and bark and threaten. And then once you're beyond the border, they don't care about you anymore and they go back home.
It's like when dogs chase cars.
Very much, yeah.
And that's very scary, too. But that happened not too long ago, and Jim's right. It chased my car, but it was right next to it, until I went past the boundary, his territory.
Well, I've never been afraid of them, but I have some friends who are terrified, so I just thought I'd ask for your advice.
Well, I wouldn't be terrified, but I would be cautious. Mm-hmm. As I said, a dog might be very friendly if you went up and petted it and the owner was there and everything. But if you're riding by on a bike, you're moving, And there's just something about movement that attracts dogs. Wolves, for you know, dogs are wolves essentially, but wolves that attack moose will stop the attack if the moose stands there and threatens them. It's not moving anymore, and they go, well, I don't want to be kicked by this guy. So, but if the moose starts to run, then they run up behind it and grab its legs and pull it down. So there's just something about movement that attracts dogs. And if you're on a bike, you know, that's a principal reason why they're chasing you. The other one is that you're in their territory.
Okay. Well, thank you.
You're very welcome. When I was a little bit younger and did that kind of thing, what I would do is if there was a dog coming up suddenly alongside, is I would stop pedaling, and that way the attention wasn't on my feet.
Mm-hmm.
So that's another maybe possibility for that listener. We've got a couple of other callers waiting, and we're going to go and take another call from Urbana. Line 2, hi.
Hi there.
Hi.
I have two questions about my Yorkie. She's a great little 4-year-old, and you know, Yorkies generally have problems with potty training, and she's no different. But most of the problem, I think, is my fault for not letting her out on time and not blocking her in properly. But I wonder if once she pees, if we're supposed to do anything or just clean it up, ignore it, and take her out more often.
Yeah, you're right. Second choice is correct.
Well, yeah. I go ahead.
Well, she already blamed herself because you have to take her out more frequently. And with those little tiny breeds, their bladders are very small as well.
Absolutely.
So they may drink the same quantity of water that a much larger dog can, but their bladder will only hold so much. So it's kind of imperative that the little tiny guys get out frequently.
Life is merrier with a Yorkshire Terrier, someone once said.
Mm-hmm.
If you see the dog actually peeing,
mm-hmm.
I don't think there's anything wrong with maybe raising your voice or some voice of disappointment or something to mark that behavior to the dog as being unacceptable. This doesn't mean you beat them with a stick or a paper or rub their nose in it or anything. But you make some sort of disapproving noise
mm-hmm.
so the dog understands that when you're putting them out, that was the reason, all right, instead of you're just a crazy lady who goes nuts every once in a while. It's the behavior I'm doing that's setting her off. But once the dog has peed and it may be a minute or two later and you find it, the dog isn't going to associate you being angry with that behavior. It's long ago forgotten it.
Okay. Yeah, that's what I thought, but I just thought I'd check. The other behavior that she sort of, we used to live in Baltimore and there were lots of noises outside and she would just, she just barks like crazy when somebody goes up to the door, or phantom noises, you know. And, you know, sometimes she wakes up from her nap and something startles her, so I completely understand. But sometimes we're just like, you know, Darcy, come on, the baby's sleeping. So I wonder if there's any ways to sort of stop that behavior.
Well, does she bark when there are actually things going on outside or just when she thinks there are?
Both.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, my guess is she thinks there are because dogs have fairly acute hearing. She hears something.
Right.
And thinks, well, you know, better to alert everybody and be wrong than to let the evil in. And because
exactly. Yeah, she runs up to the door. She barks, 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 and then she wants to lick them as soon as they come in. So.
Well, what the barking, I think we can agree, is alarm behavior. It's not aggressive.
Right.
She's trying to let you know. That there is danger, possible danger at the door. And she runs to check it out, but she's barking not at the people outside, but actually at you to say, danger, you know, like Robbie the robot, danger, danger. So I don't know what you've been doing, but the common wisdom on this is, and you should get make sure, one, the baby's awake, and two, get a friend to help you come and knock on the door so you're in control. And when the Yorkie starts barking, you say, thank you very much for alerting me to this danger. And then you take take her to a pre...
I'm just picturing the dog listening to that, looking at her. Okay, thanks. I did a good job.
Yeah. Well, of course, the dog doesn't understand. It's to put you in a better mood. So if you're saying thank you for the, it's hard to say that and be angry at the same time. And then you take the dog to a rug or the kitchen or some predestined spot, pre-designed spot, and give it food, give it a cookie, give it a toy that it likes, and after you do that a couple of times, give it a name like rug, you know, or kitchen. So the dog goes, barks. You say, good girl. That was very good. Kitchen. And then she'll run to the kitchen and to get her food. And that will take advantage of her natural desire to let you know that there's danger. If you start yelling at her, two things possibly happen. One, she thinks you agree and you're barking.
Right.
She's barking, you're barking. Or she thinks you're dumb because you don't understand that there's danger, and she's telling you. So it solves both those problems, if any.
That sounds great. We'll treat it like no big deal. Thank you, and moving on. Thanks so much.
Actually, mm-hmm. praise
Thanks
her
for
it.
Call.
Oh.
Yeah. Thanks for the call. And let's take another call. Piatt County, line 4. Hello.
Oh, hello. I have a question about behavior. We have a little 2-year-old Skipper Key. And she's very friendly and loves other dogs. When we first got her, I took her up to my friend who had a 3-year-old black lab who's incredibly friendly female. Of course, she's big. And my little dog hates her. Is that how I'm to interpret this incredibly aggressive barking that never stops when we go up? And so we've quit visiting the lab because I can't take her with me because she just... so angry, it's such a threatening, and of course the lab is very intimidated, backs away, and so I'm just questioning this behavior. I'm just interested to know why she loves other dogs, but just has taken such a animosity to another young dog.
Did you have her since she was a baby, puppy?
8 weeks, yeah.
Okay. Sometimes they have encounters with another dog that you may not be aware of, and it could have been a big black dog, and they just generalize.
Oh. Uh-huh.
And I missed, is the Skip a female?
Yes.
And is she neutered?
Yes.
And how about the lab?
Yes.
It's a female, a neutered female.
Yes.
Well, the neutering doesn't have much to do with it, but a lot of times females don't like females.
Yeah, and they don't ever get over that either. I should. That sounds too definite. They don't forget that they don't like this dog, I guess is the way I want to put it.
Yeah.
And, you know, some dogs, they don't necessarily like all other dogs.
I guess that's what I was thinking, is like maybe she just doesn't like her. I mean, you know, I just thought that I would have a little playmate there for her.
Well,
not
my...
working.
In my class right now, I've got a dog, and he clearly does not like one other dog in the class. All the others are fine. This one particular dog, he just doesn't like him. Now, the dog he doesn't like is intact, and that may make a difference.
Oh,
a big intact male, and this is a neutered male, but it's fairly obvious that he just really doesn't care for this other dog while he accepts all the others. So I guess it's something that's just kind of enigmatic. I don't know the answer.
Well, it could be, I'd have to, you know, the Skip may be very dominant and the lab may be very dominant. And when you put them together, they're trying to set up a social order and they can't because, you know, one has to be dominant and the other. And the only way to settle it is to let them fight it out, which, of course, you're never going to do.
Right.
So they will never get it resolved. What I would try... take them and have your friend have the lab's food ready and you have your dog's food ready.
Oh.
And you keep them separated, but close, you know, maybe one on one side of the fence. And
they could go for a walk together.
And feed them.
That's an idea.
Take them for a walk together, not necessarily close together. And the other thing you could do is you could walk the lab and your friend could walk the Skip.
Okay.
That's a good idea.
Try all these things, if it's it could be alarm like the previous caller. In that case, instead of trying to shut her up or yell at her, say, "Oh, what a good girl!"
Uh-huh.
Now here's a cookie and be quiet, or here's a toy and be quiet.
Okay.
You can try those things. Otherwise, as Carol said, not not every dog loves every other dog.
And, okay, that's good to know. Yeah. But my next question is then concerning exercise for a two-year-old. In this weather, it's been really, I mean, do dogs need a certain amount of exercise? I mean, she's fine, I mean, but it's just been very hard to get her out.
Oh,
when it's so hot. I mean, I was just wondering, do dogs need exercise?
Well, they need this. They do, but it doesn't necessarily have to be grueling exercise. You can do my class. I have them do some doggy push-ups in the house, sit, stand, down.
Mm-hmm.
I like to play find it with mine, and I'll just hide pieces of kibble or the treats, whatever I have. I'll put them on the stairs. I'll put them on the coffee table, on the couch, on a seat of a chair, and have them find those things. And
that's a good idea. I didn't think about that. That's a good idea.
Well, it's they love that game.
years ago, about 35 years ago, there was a judge, a circuit court judge, who lived in Monticello, who had skipper keys.
Oh.
And what they used to do when she was gone is go upstairs to the bathroom, grab the toilet paper, and unroll it through the house.
Our dog does that, yes.
Yeah, so that's an exercise you could do with your dog. Yeah.
But it's good for physical and mental exercise.
Right.
Need that.
Okay.
Try to meet them as much as you can.
And dogs do need exercise, but it's like us. If you're a regular jogger, would you go out when it's 100 degrees and risk your health?
Because you wouldn't do it if it were 30 below.
No. So if the dog doesn't get its normal exercise for a couple of days because it's too hot, that's probably okay.
Okay, well, you've been very helpful. Thanks so much.
You're welcome.
And next we're going to take a call from a listener on a cell phone, line one. Hi.
Hello, good morning. I have a golden retriever, and he'll be 16 in November.
Wow, good for you.
Yeah, he's great. He's a wonderful dog. But we just had him recently to a vet checkup, and, of course, he has the retriever hips, so that, aren't very good. And so we give him glucosamine. And we also give them two baby aspirins a day, and 81 milligram. And the doctor suggested that we change to a buffered aspirin instead of the non-buffered.
Mm-hmm.
But he wanted us to go to 325 milligram instead of the 281 milligram.
Mm-hmm.
And I was a little bit concerned about going, going to quite a change like that from that milligram to another.
You don't need to. And that the... you want to get the enteric aspirin that's coated.
Yeah.
They're orange, I think. They're coated. And, no, I don't. I think your vet's correct on that.
Yeah, a dog that big.
He's only 56 pounds.
He's
not real big, and we purposely kept him on the small side because of his hips. I don't think he would have lived as long as he has.
Yeah, and he's probably got some. He's probably also got some significant arthritis as well. So I know I think your veterinarian's accurate and
provided you get the buffered stuff so it doesn't upset his stomach too much.
Okay,
but the dosage isn't that bad.
That the dosage is fine then.
Mm-hmm.
And then the other thing is my husband would like to get a puppy, and my contention is that he's too old to really have to be bothered with a puppy, and our daughter brings her little Westie over and he plays around with, the older's toys and gets on his bed. And then when the retriever has had enough, he stands up and kind of gives a woof, and then, everything's fine. the other dog is submissive. But I just don't know about having, 24/7 with a new puppy. What do you think?
Well, my attitude, of course, is the more dogs, the better. It's really individual with the dog. If he reacts that way to the Westie, which is very positive, I think, he lets the dog do what it wants, and then at the end gets up and asserts his senior authority, and that's pretty much what would happen with a puppy. But the energy levels between the two dogs is going to be, exponential. But we've had older dogs with litters, and the puppies, they're maybe 5 weeks old, will crawl over the males, and they just growl and growl, but they never do anything. And the puppies are biting their nose and biting their tails. So I think they actually enjoy it, and I think he would enjoy the companionship.
I think so, too. I think that he might – it gives him some dogs, it gives them a new lease on life to have a companion with them. Even if it is an annoying little puppy, it's still their own species. And I think that you know the dog better than anybody. And if he tolerates other dogs, then I think it would be a fine thing to do. It'll be easier for you, too.
Yes, because obviously he's not going to live much longer than, you know, than 16, I wouldn't think.
Yeah, that's pretty long live for a golden. But you also have a dog that can help house train the puppy. You know, he can go out with the puppy. And it's I think it's probably a really good situation all the way around.
Okay, thank you. Appreciate it.
You're very welcome. And she'll have a very happy husband.
Oh, yes, that's true,
well.
Too. Who cares about that?
Thank you very much.
This is Focus, and dog trainers Jim Keel and Carol Lindholm are with us this morning. They're with the Dog Training Club of Champaign-Urbana. My name is Celeste Quinn. Listeners, if you'd like to join us this morning with a question, a comment, 333-9455, the number in the Champaign-Urbana area, toll-free 800-222-9455, by email will-talk@illinois.edu. Well, what's coming up this fall? It's almost fall, even though it's so hot and horrible.
Oh, you know,
what's coming up this fall? Because it's going to be September.
The month of September that is responsible dog ownership by the American Kennel Club, RDO, they call it. And actually, one of the members just sent me the information. I'm going to send off for it. And it's, you know, it runs the whole month, and it's not just purebred dog, it's responsible dog ownership across the board. So that's the month of September, and I'm trying to think of some way we can incorporate that into some event. We'll be starting classes again the week of September 19th, and those will go through November. So if you're considering signing a dog up for classes, go to our website and do that now, because that's going to be here before we know it, even though it's 6 weeks away. You can think, we have an agility trial in September that's going to be held indoors. So if we're on the air before then. But you can go to our website and see all these events that tell you when they are.
And I'm going to mention here that in September we're going to take a break. I'm going to take a day off. And
good for you.
A
whole day. And I'm going to have a nice long Labor Day weekend.
That sounds, I think I might just do the same.
All right.
There we go.
All right. Let's take another call. Listener on line one in Champaign. Hello.
Good morning.
Hi there.
I have a small white poodle. She was rescued out of a puppy mill. I think she was kept in a cage almost entirely, you know, before she got here with me. I've had her about a year. She's very friendly with dogs, cats, new people, but she's very timid. For the first 6 months I had her, I don't think she ever barked. When she's around me, she will get up on my bed and she'll sleep with me. She walks under the covers sometimes. But if I'm sitting in the chair in the living room watching TV and I want to have her on my lap, I walk over and she has to find one of her safe spots. She's got pillows and other places that she goes and sits before she'll sit down and let me pick her up. She seems quite happy when she's on my lap, but she's never jumped up in the chair with me. And I'm just wondering if you have any thoughts or ideas about how I might encourage her to be a little less timid.
When you go to pick her up, she goes to one of her pillows, and then you can pick her up?
Yes, she's quite submissive. She's trying to show you that she's, you know.
Mm-hmm. Does she crouch down or try to hide in the pillows, or does she just look at you? And trying to get a mental picture.
She hangs her head down. She does look at me, but she'll kind of lean away from me, like she doesn't want to be picked up.
I wonder if something hurts.
I'm sorry?
I wonder if something hurts when you pick her up. Because if she'll jump up on the bed, you want her to jump up on your lap, right?
Right. Yes.
And how old is she?
I think she's about 4 years old now.
Does she ever urinate when you go to pick her up?
No.
Okay.
Well, see, these poor dogs in puppy mills have minimal interaction with people. Very minimal. And
I think she's doing real well.
Yeah.
Herself.
Yeah, because she's overcoming a lot of fears.
One thing, my guess is, and this is not a standard poodle. In other words, it's a miniature or a toy.
Yes, toy.
Toy. How tall are you?
5'10".
Okay. So you're a taller guy. And I tell people in my training classes, but when you bend over a dog, that's an extremely dominant thing to do. And so we try to tell people when they're calling their dog to them, don't bend over when they get to you. You know, bend over them because you're dominating. What you should do is go down on a knee, you know, go straight down so you're not hanging over the dog. Because a lot of times when you bend down as they come to you, they won't come all the way in. And in obedience,
and
that's not good.
Maybe that's why she's more comfortable jumping.
Yeah, so my thought is when you go to pick her up, you're standing up and you're bending over. And she takes that as a very dominant thing. And given her background, she's probably concerned about people or dogs that are trying to dominate her. So what you can do is two things. One, get some liver, cook it up, put some garlic on it, yum, yum, and then go and sit in your chair and show her the liver and say, I'll make a deal with you. If you jump up on my lap, I'll give you some liver.
Or he could sit on the couch with her and then move to the chair later.
Or, you know.
Like later, you know, in the week or something.
But, and then the other thing is if she runs to a pillow, that's fine. Take your liver with her, with you, I mean. Give her the liver, but go down on your knees so that you're not standing over her and pick her up that way. And I assume she'd be light enough that you won't hurt your back, you know, picking her up.
When I get home in the evening, she's very excited and barking,
mm-hmm.
and I open the door, and she's right there, and I do bend down on a knee and pet her at that point. And she's seems to be pretty fine with that, but if I make any motion like I'm going to try and pick her up, then she's off one of her pillows.
Yeah, well, if you're down on your knee, you're not bending over. It's not that she's not submissive. She'll be submissive even if you're on your knee. It's just it's an overwhelmingly dominant thing to do to bend over a dog.
I'll try it.
And I have to say that if you can't bring her around in this, I wouldn't worry about that too much.
Mm-mm.
That you have a dog that could have been a whole lot worse, and obviously with your care of her, she's really come around a long way. So I'd work very slowly on this, but I wouldn't worry too much because we don't know, you know, even if we were there looking at your dog, we wouldn't really know why she's doing this.
Right.
And there'd be no way to discover it because they can't talk.
And, you know, I'm thinking about the only times that she was probably picked up by people was for something unpleasant. If she truly is a puppy mill dog, it was not out of a desire on the part of the person to pet or play with her. It was to do something to her. So there's no good association for her with being picked up by people.
Well, and she seems a lot more reluctant.
Oops.
You're
bad connection.
Yeah, you're dropping away there. You want to repeat what you just
said? I'm sorry.
Said?
Oh, there
Whoa.
You go.
Yeah.
I say she's much more timid with me than women. She will jump up on the couch with a woman on the couch, but she doesn't do that with me.
Yeah.
Well,
maybe a man that was...
Yeah, here's a scenario. Probably not true, but it would explain things, and that is she's in a small crate because she's a small dog, but it has to be cleaned. Even puppy mill people clean their crates once in a while. So he pops open the top, reaches down, bends over, and puts her in another crate, probably with other dogs. And those dogs don't like her one bit. And so they either attack her or they intimidate her very much. And then, and it's a man doing this. Then he comes back and puts her back in the crate, her own crate. So every time a man came and bent over her, she was, and in his mind, for example, it might not, he doesn't think he's doing anything cruel. He's not beating the dog or hurting it. But the dog doesn't look at it that way. It's, oh, he's picking me up. He's going to put me with those nasty bulldogs. And I really don't like that. So, I mean, any number of things could explain this. And but most of them, as Carol pointed out, are something unpleasant happened when a man bent over her. So slowly you've gotten rid of most of that. And this is the only thing left. But I try the things we suggested, and especially, and liver is, most dogs like it. By that I mean find the food that she really likes or a toy that she really likes.
Chicken would be better than gross liver. Well, that's on the couch and on the chair. Can you imagine? Ick.
Yeah, but dogs love liver.
I know.
So but your dog might not like liver. So find whatever it is that she really likes and use that. But usually it's liver. Some dogs love toys.
Yeah, call us back and let us know.
Yeah.
Well, she's at this point, I haven't gotten her to play with very many toys. Once in a while, she'll get a little bit excited.
Well, see, you know, she probably never learned to play either. So introducing toys to her is kind of a novel thing, but she doesn't know how to play.
There's another little trick you can do. If you can find a dog that she gets along with, and it would probably have to be another toy dog. A small dog, but if you can find a dog that she would play with, then you can go over and pick that dog up.
Mm-hmm. And they can play with toys and she can learn.
Right, yeah. But you don't, my guess is she's as afraid of big dogs as she is in that context as she seems to be timid of you.
So. I don't think so. We've been walking and there's a good-sized golden retriever that we meet once in a while, and she seems perfectly comfortable.
Oh, good. That's good. I'm glad that she can deal with other dogs. But so if you can find a friend, you know, who has a smaller dog, and see if they'll play together.
All right. I will try it. Thank you very much.
Okay. Good luck.
You're very welcome. This is Focus. Let's take another call. A listener in Arthur on line 2. Good morning.
Good morning. I got a dog that she's about a year old now, but we play retrieve, and she never will bring it back to me. How do I get her? She wants to play, but she does this thing where she walks off with it, and then I figured the right thing to do is to not respond to that.
But, what kind of dog is she?
That's a little Jack Russell. She's about 12 pounds.
Well, you can teach her to make a trade. That's one way to do it. Mm-hmm. You know, she's got a ball. You play fetch with a ball or what?
Oh, ball, squeaky toy, whatever.
Yeah, and toss it for her, and then let her know that you've got something in your hand for her, and she'll come back to investigate, hopefully carrying it back with her, but that you can work on that part of it later. And then just make a trade. You get the ball, she gets the treat. Try that.
I think she thinks there's going to be a lot more fun going on if she keeps it.
Well, for her, yeah.
Well, I mean, yeah. All right, well, thank you.
Thanks for the call this morning.
Just to give you an example, I've probably had 100 Malamutes in my life, and one would retrieve without being trained. One. And she would do it once. And if you threw it again, she would look at you like, I just went and got it for you, and you threw it away. You threw it, you get it.
Some dogs just don't
some dogs, yeah,
play that game.
And
no.
There's some breeds, and like a Jack Russell is a terrier, and they... they're bred to work away from a handler and not and kind of independently and not necessarily bring things back to the handler. So it would take a bit of training.
Yeah. The dog we had growing up, the game to her was, you know, keep away, you know, and you chase me. She thought that was great sport. Well, she was a Weimaraner. She loved to run. She'd tire us out. So, but you couldn't play baseball in the backyard with her because she would
steal the ball.
She'd steal the ball. And it was like game would hang up.
How hilarious is that?
So we had to play ball in somebody else's yard.
Get two balls.
Have her in the house. No, she was always interested in the one we had.
Sure.
So, yeah. So
they're so much fun to have. They really are.
Yeah. So this is Focus, and dog trainers Jim Keel and Carol Lindholm are with us this morning. They're with us once a month on the first Friday of the month, although in September we will not be here. Carol and Jim are with the Dog Training Club of Champaign-Urbana. We've got about 5 minutes left in this portion of the program today, so if you have a question, maybe we could take one more call this morning. 333-9455, the number in the Champaign-Urbana area. Toll free, 800-222-9455. When you first came in this morning, Carol, you mentioned a book is really taking off.
Yes.
Hasn't apparently been promoted, but apparently there are a lot of people who
love
dogs and who are buying this book.
It's called A Dog's Purpose. And I can't think of the name of the author, but I've been to their website. And the other day I sent a clip about it to a group of my friends, and that I think it was last week. And
I didn't send it to you. No, I'm on the wrong group.
But it had gotten 52 at that point in time, 5-star reviews on Amazon.com. And they're running out of books when the author goes around to book signings. And it made a spectacular leap on the New York Times bestseller list. I was in the Chicago suburbs yesterday and was looking for it, and they only had one copy. And it was in the literature section, which is not where I expected it to be.
Mm-hmm. And the author is W. Bruce Cameron.
That's it. That's it.
Yeah.
So his premise, this book, which I know when I read it, I'm going to have to like lock myself in a closet, but that dogs truly never die. They just come back to you in the form of another dog, which is his explanation as to how they know us so well.
Gets a thumbs up from Temple Grandin.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. We've got one call. Let's take it. Line one. Good morning.
Good morning.
What can we do for you?
I'm calling from Charleston, Illinois.
Okay.
And I have a rescued pit bull mix that I got at a gas station in Chicago. And I think he's about a year old. He's pretty well behaved all around. He knows a few commands. And I can walk with him without a leash most of the time. But he has some separation anxiety, and if I'm even out in the yard and he's in the house, or today I had to tie him on a lead because there was some construction around the house, he gets very upset and anxious, and I'm wondering what I can do to possibly limit that behavior.
The only thing I know of is drugs. There are a lot pharmacologically. Dog tranquilizers have come a long way in the last even 5 years.
Okay.
And so go to the vet. And let me put on my lawyer hat here just for a second and say I would not walk a pit that I got at a gas station in Chicago. I would not walk him around off lead.
Okay.
You're just asking for trouble. And
all right.
Or, you know, get yourself a whole lot of insurance.
Okay.
And most, I know Champaign and Urbana both have, you can't do that. You can't walk your dog off lead despite its breed, or you'll get a running at large ticket. So
right. I live in the country, so I meant more in a rural setting.
Yeah, but I Jim's advice is good.
The nice young lady who called us, who was our first call, rides a bike in the country and dogs chase. And
right.
I bet a nickel your dog would chase any bike rider going by. And they would be eliminating in their pants if they saw a pit coming at them. I know I would.
Also, I've seen a product that's a pheromone collar, and I'm wondering if there's any validity to that.
Now, I've met people that have had great success with some of these pheromone products. I've met others, and they had no success whatsoever.
Okay.
So it's going to be up to you to try things. Does the noise of the construction, is that making him anxious, or are you outside with the construction project, and that's what's making him anxious?
I'm doing work outside. I don't think that he's really not paying much attention to the construction. It's more just having me outside the house while he's inside.
Yeah, well, eventually, you know, you're employed, I assume, so you're gone for some hours during the day?
Yes.
And how is he while you're gone? Is there damage when you get home?
Sometimes he's fine. Sometimes he's gotten into things I would rather he didn't.
And does he destroy them?
Yes.
Yeah, well, I'm trying to think. I just heard of someone who dealt with anxiety.
Yeah, we just had it on our dog club list, that drug that was recommended.
Yeah, I can't. Oh, that's right. That's
yeah,
where I read
yeah.
it.
Yeah, it was a dog that, now I can't think of it, the name of it, but it was for one of our club members who's got a dog that has developed some severe anxiety. And now everything's setting her off to the point where she will get out of a crate, she will climb through a fence. And in this case, it was also recommended that they go a pharmaceutical route rather than try to train that behavior away, because the dog is going to hurt itself.
Okay.
And there we got to pretty much wrap it up. Yep. So probably a visit to the vet or a call to the vet.
Mm-hmm.
And see how
he can try the
out.
Pheromones and see if it has any effect
yeah.
on it.
Also,
but...
you know, the rescue remedy.
Mm-hmm. Box flower.
Yep. Okay. There we have to leave it. We're out of time. My thanks this morning to Jim Keel and Carol Lindholm of the Dog Training Club of Champaign-Urbana. They will be back in October.
I should mention that tomorrow I'm marching with the world-famous Lawn Rangers in the Decatur Parade.
Oh, that's so cool.
Decatur Celebration?
Decatur Celebration, and it'll be hot, so don't bring your dog.
Very good. All right. Everyone, have a great weekend.